Shalom Richa to all. Welcome back to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Micha Harris, and today we will be studying Sefer Melachim Aleph, Parak Yud. This parak tells us all about King Shlomo's vast wealth, more details of the beauty of his palace, and also his relationship with kings of other countries. So he wasn't just a man of renown in his own country, ancient Judea, but he was well known to other kings as well. He forged relationships and ties and made impressions on them. And the queen of Sheba heard about the renown of Shlomo for the sake of God, and she came to test him with all kinds of riddles. Pasuk Beis. She didn't come empty-handed. She's coming to meet a great king. She comes to Jerusalem with a great amount of wealth. She has camels carrying spices. She has a lot of gold. She has precious stones. She comes to Shlomo, she speaks him everything that is in her heart. Shlomo was able to answer whatever her concerns were in her heart. He was able to respond. There was nothing concealed from the king that he could not clarify and answer for her. And the queen of Sheba sees all the wisdom of Shlomo, the home that he had built. She sees the food of his table. She sees the standing of his servants. She sees the standing of his attendants. She sees their garments and their drinks. She sees everything in the house of Hashem. V'lo haya ba'od ruach. It literally means there was no more spirit in her. Wow, like her breath was taken away. She was just speechless. She was breathless. She says to the king, "Emes haya hadavar asher shamati ba'artzi." Wow, it is true what I heard in my land. Al dvarecha v'al chachmasecha, what they say about you, about your word, and about your wisdom. V'lo ha'emanti ladvarim ad asher basi v'atir ena enai. I didn't even believe what I heard until I came and I saw it. Ena domesh mi'l'ri'iyah. What you see with your own eyes makes a much bigger impact than something that someone tells you. This is a beautiful proof of that teaching. She says, I didn't believe it until I came and my eyes saw. She says, what I was told is not even half of what I see here. You have added so much good and wisdom to the reports that I received. She gives him a beautiful blessing. Ashrei anashecha, fortunate are your men. Ashrei avadecha ela, fortunate are these servants of yours. Omdim lefanecha tamid, who stand before you with consistency and always. Hashomim eschach masacha, they're fortunate. They get to hear your wisdom all the time. When I am zochet to be davening by the kotel, I look at the birds who live there, and I think they're so fortunate, these birds. They get to be here all the time. And I'm not here all the time. Ibi b'mizrach v'anochi b'sof ma'arav. I'm only here infrequently, says the queen of Sheba, to hear your wisdom. But wow, these servants and your ministers and the people who stand before you to serve you, they get to hear your wisdom all the time. She gives him a bracha. Yi Hashem Elokecha baruch. May Hashem your God be blessed. Asher chavetz b'cha, who desired you. Letishcha al kisei Yisrael, to put you on the throne of Israel. Ba'ahavas Hashem es Yisrael la'olam. Because Hashem is an eternal love for Israel. Vayizimcha la'melach la'asos mishpon tztakan. Hashem placed you as king to do righteousness and to do justice. Really, justice and righteousness, mishpat, in the pasuk comes before tzedakah. And she gives the king gifts. She gives him many kikarzav, meya v'eshem kikarzav, 120 talents of gold. Ubisamim harbi mod. She gives him so much spices. Ve'even yikara. She is very wealthy. King Shlomo is very wealthy. She is so wowed. Her breath literally is taken away by what she sees, what Shlomo has built. She bestows upon him gold. She bestows upon him so many spices, precious gems. There was never spices like this ever in a abundance like the Queen of Sheba gave to King Shlomo. Then the Psukim venture, since we're talking about King Shlomo's treasures and his relationship, I think is the wrong word, his encounter with the king, queen of Sheba. Pasuk Aleph tells us, V'gam ani Chiram, remember Chiram and his ships, and also the fleet, the ships of Chiram, asher nasa zahav me Ophir, they carried zahav, gold from Ophir. They brought from Ophir a special kind of wood, atzei almugim, almugim wood, harbei me'od, there was so much of this wood, the even yakara, so the ships of Chiram, those fleets also brought from Ophir more wealth, gold and wood. And what did the king do with this special wood that they bought? He made things for the house of Hashem. He made things for his own house, the Beis Hashem, or the Beis HaMelech. He made musical instruments. kinoro la kinor univalim kinor neva la sarim for the officers. Lo ba kein anse almugim velo nira areyamazah. There was never so much almugimur. There was never anything like this until this day. There was never spices like the Queen of Sheba gave. We're going to learn that nothing was even made out of silver in his kingdom. Gold was so abundant that silver was considered not a precious material even. What is almugim wood? So the Steintos Nevi'im says, some identify almugim with sandalwood. This is an expensive red tree that comes from India and is used in luxury wood products. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Ksubos, as well as in the Medrash, it is identified as alvum or alvus or alvua in Greek. These trees, whose scientific name is Aquilaria agalosa, also grow in India and are used in the production of wooden decorations, ornaments, and spices. Alternatively, some identify almugim as coral, which is known as almug in modern Hebrew. That's according to the Radak, the Rabag. Although coral is not expensive in places where it is common, it would have been considered valuable in Israel at the time. Pasuk Yud Gimel, after we're told that from Ophir the ships bring wood and gold, so much it was never seen. The King Shlomo gave to Queen Sheba everything she desired, asher shal, whatever she asked for. There was so much wealth. Besides what he gave her as gifts out of the generosity of King Shlomo, whatever she asked for, he gave her. Whatever additional she wanted, he gave. Vatevin, she turned. Vatelech l'artzo, she went back to her land. Hiva, vader, her and her servants. And now we're told the weight of the tremendous amount of gold that is brought to King Shlomo in every year. An amazing, amazing amount of gold. He made shields from gold. He made small shields from gold. What did he do with these shields? Vayidim ha-melech Beit Yar Halavonan. Remember, his palace is called the Beit Yar Halavonan, and it has beams and trees to make it look like a forest. So these shields perhaps were decorative. Remember, Shlomo, we haven't read him about him fighting any wars. He really has a lock on the lie of the land, if you will. So perhaps they were put as decoration. He puts them into the Be'yar Halavana. Now we have a description of his throne. And I want to speak about his throne. And Pasuk Yud Ches, we're told as follows. An incredible throne. Ready? Vayas HaMelech Kisei Shein Gadol. The king made a great throne of ivory. Vayitzapehu Zahav Mufaz. And he covered it with gold from the city of Ufaz. Mufaz from Ufaz. Sheish Ma'alos Lakisei. There were six stairs to go up to the throne, v'rosh agol lakise me'acharav, and there was a round top for the throne, lakise from behind, for resting one's head, presumably, v'yados mizeh u'mizeh, armrest on this side and that side, al makom hashavas, to the place where one sits, in other words, the armrests were on the side of the sea, u'shnayim arayos omdim etza hayados, or u'shnayim ayarot omdim etza hayado. There were two lions, wow, standing next to the arms, two statues of lions. Ushneim asra arayim omdim sham al sheish hamalo mizeh mizeh. There were 12 lions standing on the six stairs on this side and on that side. Lo nasa kein lochol mamlachos. Nothing was ever made like this for any other kingdom. The throne is described here in Pesukim Yud Ches, Yud Tes, and Chaf. After that, we're going to come back to the throne. We're told about the drinking vessels of King Solomon. They were all made of gold. All the vessels in Beit Ya'ar Halavonin, remember his palace, they were made from pure refined gold. We're told Ein Kesef Lo Nechshav Bimei Shlomo L'Umma. There was so much gold that silver was considered like nothing in the days of King Shlomo. It tells us about the ships, a fleet of strong ships that would sail to Tarshish, and once every 3 years they would come back from Tarshish. What do you think they were carrying? Many precious exotic animals, precious gems. These ships would bring back zahav, the kasef, gold and silver, shenhabim, the kofim, the tukim. Wow. They would bring back ivory. They would bring back monkeys. They would bring back some type of bird, perhaps peacocks. Yigdal HaMelech Shlomo mikol malchei ha'aretz. King Shlomo was greater than all the kings of the earth. La'osher, in wealth, vast wealth, like we've seen. Ule chachma. And in wisdom. V'chol ha'aretz, pasuk avdad, mevakshem es pnei Shlomo. All of the earth sought out the face, i.e. the advice of, the friendship of, the wealth of, the chachma of King Shlomo, lishmo as chachma. So everybody wanted to hear his great wisdom, asher nasan elokim belibo, that God put in his heart. But when they came to hear the great wisdom of Shlomo, they came empty-handed. No, the heima mivim ish min chaso klei kasef uklei zahav uslamos. The people, when they came, they wouldn't come empty-handed. They brought silver, vessels of silver. They brought vessels of gold. They brought garments, v'neshek. They brought weapons, ubesamim. They brought spices, susim. They brought horses, upradim, and mules, devar shana b'shana. This happened every year. So Shlomo was vastly wealthy. It is so interesting to me that his throne was surrounded by lions. On the side of the armis, there were two lions. It doesn't tell us what they were made from, but the throne itself is made from ivory covered in gold. Presumably, the lions perhaps matched, especially because the pasuk tells us that silver was almost worthless. So we would imagine that all the lions were made out of gold, even though it's not in the pshat. And he had six steps going up to the throne, and there were 12 lions on the six steps. So two lions on each step, plus two lions next to the throne. Why, perhaps, did Shlomo HaMelech have lions next to his throne and on the ascent to his throne? We're going to Sefer Bereishis, Perek Mem Tes, Birkas Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu is on his deathbed, he blesses each tribe with a special blessing. What does he say to Shevet Yehuda? Perek Mem Tes of Sefer Bereishis, Pasuches, Yehuda, Ato Yoducha Achecha, Yadcha Be'orath Oivecha. We know that Yehuda is a very strong tribe. Yehuda is the tribe of Malchus. Yehuda took responsibility for Yosef. Yehuda admits that it was he who got Tamar pregnant. Yehuda goes down by Yaakov first to set up a base Talmud in Goshen. Yehuda is the tribe of responsibility, of courage, of strength. Yehuda, your brothers will admit to your supremacy. Your hand will be at the nape of the neck of your enemy. The brothers of your father will bow down to you. Ah, what lion is Yehuda? Pasuk Tes and Perek Mem Tes. Gur Aryeh Yehuda. A young lion cub. Gur is a young lion. Aryeh is an old lion. There's, I think, 12 words. When we were at Rabbi Natan Slifkin's museum, we've been there a couple of times in Beit Shemesh, the biblical museum. I forget how many words there are for lion in Tanakh, but there's maybe eight. There's quite a number of words for lion in Tanakh. Gur Aryeh Yehuda, a lion cub. A lion is Yehuda. Mitaref b'ni Elisha, from torn meat, my son, you have risen. Kara, he kneels down. Ravatz ka'arye, he rests like a lion. Ukalavi, and like a female lion. Mi kimenu, I'm kibbutz Lavi. If you've ever been to kibbutz Lavi, you're Baruch Hashem Zocha to be there very, very much. Zocha 4 years ago for Chag HaPasach, the symbol of kibbutz Lavi is taka a lion. Ukalavi, mi kimenu. Lo yasir shevi mi Yehuda, mi chokek mi bein raglav, the staff of rulership shall not move from Yehuda, nor the lawgiver from his feet. Ad ki avu Shiloh. We were in Shiloh last year. When we were Zocha to be there for Chag HaPasach, we were in Shiloh last year. I think I mentioned that it's three times at least, right? Davening at the Kota and the birds, Kibbutz Lavi, Shiloh, Libi b'Mizrach, v'Anochi b'Sof Ma'arav. Ad ki yavo Shiloh, until the Melech HaMashiach will come. Oh, what was my point? In ancient Shiloh, or maybe it's in modern day Shiloh, one of the streets there is called Ad ki yavo Shiloh. I loved it. Of course, I took a picture of the street sign. Until the Redeemer will come to Shiloh. What's Shiloh? The site of the first Mishkan, right? The lo yikahas, I mean, and to him, nations will gather. You have to hear what Rav Shamsher and Fall Hirsch says about Gur Aryeh Yehuda. And if you wouldn't know, you would think Rav Hirsch is describing King Shlomo. After we've gone through almost the entire parak, and we've seen the great wealth and the stature and the rulership and the respect that everyone has for King Shlomo, they flocked him with gold and silver from the queen of Sheba to Hiram, to all the kings of the earth, to his servants. Remember, he has the foreign Canaanite forced labor. King Shlomo is so powerful. Listen to what Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch in his commentary to Birkas Yaakov says. Yehuda, you combine the courage of youth, Gur, with the discretion of maturity, Aryeh. You have no liking for battle and plunder for their own sake. Yehuda does not want battle and plunder for the sake of battle and plunder. The Umas HaOlam want to battle and plunder for the sake of battle and plunder. Not so, Yehuda. You are neither a hyena nor a wolf. You are a lion. You are above base murder for the sake of plunder. Hyena will kill to kill and grab other people's meat. No, Yehuda is a lion. He is above base murder just for the sake of plunder. Then, listen to Rav Hirsch. This is so incredible. When I went to look up, or Rav Hirsch says, I wanted to connect it to Birkas Yaakov, because Yaakov Avinu is the one who connects Malchus Yehuda and Shevi Yehuda to a lion, which is what the decoration for Shlomo saw. And my breath had, I guess pun intended, with the Queen of Sheba, my breath was taken away, because when I read the next paragraph, I'm thinking to myself, this could be Rav Hirsch on King Shlomo. Listen, Yehuda's strength is not in the crush of battle. We have not read about one battle of King Shlomo. Yet look how strong he was. What distinguishes him, says Rav Hirsch, is not the might that flares up and casts dread in an hour of danger, only to fade after. Even when Yehuda is resting, he remains a lion. That's King Shlomo. We haven't read about one war. He's not literally resting. He's forming alliances. He's building stables. He has horses. He has gold, silver. He's answering people's questions. He's resolving disputes. Yes, but he is resting in terms of he's not in battle. Even when he's resting, he remains a lion. Even in peacetime, he makes himself feared and dreaded, thus ensuring security from without, and his leadership secures the peace that facilitates development from within. This is just mind-blowing. It's exactly the reign of King Shlomo, as we understand it in the Pesukim in Tona. I'm going to read it again. Kara Ravatz. He lays down, he crouches down. Ka'aryeh, like a lion, ukilavi. And a lioness, Mia Kamenu. Yehuda's strength is not in the crush of battle. What distinguishes him is not the might that flares up and casts dread in the era of danger, which only fades afterwards. Even when he is resting, he remains a lion. Even in peacetime, he makes himself feared and dreaded, thus ensuring security from without, and his leadership secures the peace that facilitates development from within. Mamish incredible. It's Yaakov Avinu who first said, Yehuda, you're a lion. With Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch's pshat, beautiful pshat, we see how it connects exactly to King Shlomo, who put this insignia, if you will, this sign of the strength of lions and what it means next to his throne. We did almost actually the entire park. We didn't do the last four psukim, chavav, chazayin, chavchaz, chavtaz. Our time is up. The end tells us how many horses and riders and chariots King Shlomo had in Yerushalayim. It tells us that silver was like stones. Stones are so common. Silver was like stones in Yerushalayim. Trees and cedar trees, which are fancy Lebanon trees, were like lower trees, were like trees of less expense because there was so much that King Abishlomo had. He would buy horses from Egypt and export them to kings of the northern kingdom. And this is how the Chitim and Aram from the northern kingdom, this is how the parak ends, with the great might, the wealth, the renown, and the wisdom, and the throne of King Shlomo. Thank you so much, everyone, for learning with me. This Shir is dedicated anonymously as a zechut for our Torah leaders across the world. May Hashem grant them koach and wisdom to lead Klal Yisrael and bring us closer to Hashem and the coming of Mashiach b'mher b'yameinu. Amen. Ad ki yavol shilo v'lo yikahat. Amen. Thank you so much. Have a gevaldik day, Bezor Hashem. I look forward to continuing tomorrow.